We are up to the Gemara. We're going to start again from the beginning of the Gemara. Mishnah said that if Reuven was married, let's say, and he was the Chochem that refused to be matur the neder, or he was the aide that testified about the death of the husband, or he was the one that brought the guest, and he had a wife, and then his wife died, he can marry the woman that he either permitted to get married or got her in a way that he can marry her. We're not afraid of Chashad because he was married at the time that he did it. So therefore, we're not chashish that he had an ulterior motive. The diak is made to end his garish life only if he died. But if Reuven were to divorce his wife and then marry this woman, we wouldn't allow it. We would say no, because it reinforces a rumor that he did it for an ulterior motive. Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi Vatanya Filin Nisgarshu. We learned in the Braita that even if Reuven divorced his wife, we don't accuse that he was matzah this woman to get married for an ulterior motive, because he had been married at the time, even though he ended up divorcing his wife. So the Gemara like Asha. If they were fighting before, so then we say that the get is not directly related to the fact that he was matzah this woman. They weren't getting along before. So therefore, he divorced her because he divorced her. Happens to be that he now wants to marry this woman. But we don't accuse him of an ulterior motive because he was married. He had a hard marriage, but the hard marriage was independent of the fact that this woman came around. They were getting along perfectly, and all of a sudden he divorces her. That reinforces the fact that we're cheshed that something was ulterior motive. Rashi. This Garshulai, because he decided his eyes wandered to this woman who he was matur to get married, either by saying her husband died, or by bringing the get, or by not removing her nether. It's mashma from the Mishnah that there we would not allow him to marry her. So the answer is, they were fighting previously. He wasn't even thinking about this lady. She wasn't available. And the other, if he all of a sudden was out of fight, without anything, he divorces his wife. So then we say he obviously fell in love with his secretary. Well, I can tell you they're both talking about there was no fight. And still, sometimes we let this marriage, because there's no reason to believe it's because of an ulterior motive. V'loy kasha. Had the argul who? Had the argula he? Who started this fight? They didn't have a fight, and all of a sudden there's a divorce. Who caused the divorce? If he caused the divorce, we're suspicious. If she caused the divorce, it has nothing to do with him. Why should we accuse that he did it for an ulterior motive? He wasn't planning to divorce this woman. She made a big fight. She wants out. So that's why he divorced her. So therefore, we don't accuse him for an ulterior motive, even though they were not fighting previously. Rashi.
We're talking about after.
Rashi. When he started the fight, he's the one that got his wife angry. She started the fight. So the end of the day, the Gemara gives two answers. It seems that according to both answers, if they were fighting already, we don't accuse him for an ulterior motive. Because the bottom line is, they were headed for divorce anyway. They didn't divorce her so he could marry this woman. They were headed for divorce anyway. If they weren't fighting and all of a sudden he divorces her, that raises a red flag. And then the Gemara, the second Teret says, that red flag depends on who caused this divorce, this sudden divorce. Was it the woman that started making her husband's life miserable? Was it him that started making his wife's life miserable? And that will decide whether we think it's the divorce came from an ulterior motive or not.
Maybe his wife made his life miserable because he's hanging around with this lady.
Again, I can't answer that question. I don't have the answer. It bothered me also, and I don't have the answer. Kul Shinisu. The Mishnah says, next case, right? A person testified that a woman's husband died, or he brings the get and says, B'fanei nechtam, B'fanei nechtam. and she gets married to somebody else, and then gets divorced or widowed, he can marry her. Now, the question that bothers us is here, and I'm going to learn like Rashi now. There's a machlokes tanoim. If a woman is widowed twice, is she allowed to get married a third time? Rabbi Shita says that once a woman is widowed twice, for whatever reason, the Gemara has two reasons later on in Yevamos, a woman is not allowed to get remarried anymore. Because she has a chazakah, and Rabbi holds chazakahs two times. She has a chazakah that her husband died. For whatever reason, this woman's husband died. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds three times. Not two times, three times. Now, Rashi Shita is that a woman gets divorced twice, is also not allowed to get remarried. But she has a chazakah of breaking up marriages. That's what Rashi learns. Tosfos argues, says there's no such thing, but Rashi learns that according to Rebbe, a woman who's married twice and gets divorced twice, 0 for 2, cannot get married again. Now, our Mishnah says this woman married somebody else, and that husband died or got divorced her, she can marry this guy. Now, she already had two deaths. If they're talking about he testified her husband died, she got married and her second husband died. Or if he brings the get, and then she gets married and gets divorced, she had two gets or two deaths. Why can she get married to this guy? Forget the ulterior motive issue. There's a problem here. This lady has a chazakah of non-lasting marriages, and we don't let her get into a third marriage.
Rabbi?
Let me just finish one second. Rashi Shita is that it makes no difference, death or divorce. Two times, and she's out. Two strikes and you're out. Yes, Harvey.
Rabbi, the chazakah regarding divorce is, I think, for me, easier to understand than the one regarding death. Since she might have had a hand in the divorce, and maybe marriage is just not her thing, but the death of her husband, could you just say a word about why that's a chazakah?
So the Gemara in the sixth parak will deal with this extensively. And the Gemara comes out with one of two svaras, and there are differences between the svaras. One Maldiyamah says it's her mazel. For some reason, the Rabbi Nishem decreed that this woman's husbands don't live. And therefore, once it happened twice, we don't want the third guy marrying her because her mazel has been established as one that is supposed to live single. And the second svara the Gemara gives is there's something physically in her that obviously is causing death to her husband. Now, I'm not talking halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, the place can deal that if the husband had a pre-existing condition, it doesn't apply. If the husband has a other physical... The place can deal with this extensively to find a terem for women whose two husbands died to get married a third time. But this is not the sugya here. It's just being brought in here. Emir Hashem, when and if we get there in the sixth parak, Gemara will deal with this extensively. So we'll leave it for there. We'll just mention that Rebbe Shita is that way. And again, the Gemara gives two reasons. Either her mazel, meaning this is her preordained mazel that the Rebbe Nishlam gave her, that she can't have husbands, and therefore it's dangerous for husbands to marry her. Or there's a physical aspect that this woman has, that relationships with men cause disease to men. Now again, Tice can deal with this extensively to find a terem for women who get married twice and their husband died. And the Kiddush of Rashi is that it applies to divorce because the Gemara there does not bring divorce into the picture at all. Only talks about that. In fact, Tice is argues in Rashi and says there is no halacha that a woman who got divorced twice can get remarried. But Rashi reads the simple Gemara here, which seems to say that even divorced twice, according to Rebbe, would ban her from getting married. Zok to Gemara. That's the commission. Let's see. Zok to Gemara. Can we just... Yes. Let me answer you.
Just to mention,
the
Gemara says that there's nothing to do with what's chazak. Isn't there... How much do you need for a chazak?
Rebbe holds chazak is twice.
I'm saying
I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm answering you. Rabbi's opinion is chazak is twice.
This is not just it's not just in this format. It's
All chazakas are twice. Establishing patterns only need twice. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds it needs three times.
Rabbi, I know you want to run away from the subject.
Eric, yes. According to Rabbi, according to Rabbi, Ashar HaMu'ud is two times. Correct.
It just seems to me that the chances of the chazaka being on the husband, if there's two brothers that marry her and they both have congenital heart disease, that's more likely the chazaka than hers. But
and I'm said
sure
that
we'll
despite the state of there's a pre-existing condition that doesn't count.
Okay.
I said that. I mentioned that. I thought I mentioned that. So to Gemara, Ksagadaitach Misa Misa V'Gerishin HaGerishin. We thought at this point that the case of Mesu was going on the pack when he testified that the husband died. In the case of Nisgarsha, was talking about when he brings the get. Name him Asnisan Deloy Karebi. The Karebi, Amar betray Zimdi, have the Chazaka. Rebbe said two times, create a Chazaka. And for the Gemara Loy. Misa Gerishin, Begerishin Amisa. Mix and match. He testified that the woman's husband died and she got married and got divorced. He testified, he gave the get and said, Bufanai Nechtab, and then she got married and the husband died. But Enochinami, it could be. That our Mishnah says two deaths or two divorces would disqualify her. Mishnah's got nothing involved. But there's no proof from this Mishnah, because the Mishnah might mean a mix and match, that the first one was death and the second one was divorce, or vice versa.
So you can mix and match?
Then you can get married, because there's no chazaka. No established pattern. Rashi kasagadaitach misa misa. Hadik tani bekulam shenisu lacher mumesum. That which the Mishnah says she married somebody else and then they died. Koinami Aresha, the Tony Mace, to rock to her new, but he says this type. It's going back on the Mishnah Chafayim and Aleph that said that if a guy testifies he died or I killed him or we killed him, he can't marry her. Ukhari didn't miss it for Acharabev. And the Mishnah is saying if she got married to somebody else, Ubay Tashani and Zab, Mutaris Lunatulay Zeh, she can marry this witness. Biavabi Shemesu Beis Malahab. Even though she has suffered the loss of two husbands, Tanasi Lishlishi. We don't say that this woman has established a pattern of having husbands die. Tanai Semei said the one who marries her dies. The Gerishin, the Kanin is Garsha. Koya Gerishin's law is also going in the case of Gerishin. And maybe get. And he says, and then she gets married and gets divorced. Bashminan, the Nisuflacha by Saget, if she married somebody else using that divorce. The Girusha Shayni has that. And that second one divorced her, Materis Lanasala, maybe Gitarishan. She can marry the guy that brought the first get. So we see that we're not afraid of Chazaka. Betrays him, you have a Chazaka. The Kamam Bahaboye Vemtoy, this is later on in Perik number 6. This is the Rishon Umeis. She marries one person and he dies. Lishani Umeis. Lishlishi Loitinase Dibre Rebbe. Rebbe says she should not get married a third time. Masnissan Deloike Rebbe. The Rebbe. He's a chashad like him. True, we're not afraid of ulterior motives, but miu l'chol ha'ilam asura. She can't marry anybody. She has established a pattern to become a widow or to be a divorcee. And the Gemara answers, Misa d'ktani ha'cha shenisu l'acher mumesu, mutaris, the case when she married somebody else and they died, lava kulu d'lo'cho, he's not going back in all the cases. Ela gerishin, la maybe get. It's going back in the case that the first marriage ended with a divorce, and the second marriage ended with a death. Or it was a divorce caused by a chacham who didn't want to remove her neder. The gerushin the chacham may sarak to her ifnu. In the case of gerushin, it's talking about first husband died. Shemagishin is garshim mishenu zeb mutaris lishlishi. Sadayin lehugzuku b'chod dereis atrei zimni. She did not establish one deficit, one detriment, two times. Now, Tosfos argues in Rashi and says there is no concept of establishing a pattern of divorce. Because divorce, the reason for Tosfos arguing in Rashi, is divorce is up to the humans involved. Whereas death comes from Avach Shadosh Baruch Hu straight. We're not talking about a guy committed suicide, we're talking about the guy naturally died. Whereas divorce is a decision made by individuals, and therefore the fact that she got divorced twice does not establish her as a permanent divorcee. That's what Tosfos holds. See, Rashi takes the Gemara simply and says, Gerishin, a Gerishin. So Tosfos says that's a lot of Davka.
Yeah, if two husbands committed suicide, that might be a pattern too, though.
I don't know. It's only if the Gemara says it's either her mazel or her causing illness. suicide would not be her problem.
Makes two people crazy.
Again, I'm not a psychiatrist.
Now, according to Shimon Gamliel, none of this would begin.
Shimon Gamliel says three.
So this would be
all we wanted to know is this Mishnah not like Rav Shimon, like Rav? All we're trying to figure out is this Mishnah not like Rav? And the answer is no proof. It could be that Rav learns this Mishnah is going about mix and match, to quote Rabbi Cohn. Dr. Gemara Baiter. V'kulam mutaris livneyam elachayam. The Mishnah said that all these people that we don't let them marry women because of ulterior motive can marry the sons or brothers of the person. We're not accusing anybody of an ulterior motive for somebody else's benefit. People only do averis for their benefit, not for anybody else's benefit. For Dr. Gemara, we find not that way. We find that we don't let relatives marry people who are accused of having an illicit relationship with their relatives. And here we are allowing relatives to marry those people. I mean, this is even going back of the guy who was accused of adultery. We let the woman marry his son or brother. We don't answer her. Yet we find in other cases that we don't let a man marry a relative of a woman that he's accused of. But let's give the Gemara a chance. Dr. Gemara, Maishnam Adatnan. Why is this different than what we learned? Hanita min Isha, when it's accused of a relationship with a woman, Asr be'ima u'bebita u'bachaysa, to not marry a mom, her daughter, or her sister. So we see that not only do we ban her from him marrying this woman, we ban him from marrying any of her relatives. And here, we're allowing relatives to marry, even though this guy is being accused of a relationship with this woman. Rashi. Also, be'ima b'bita v'chaisa. Why? Give me farish time of the kama. Let the Gemara will explain. Shem la'achar she'yisnes ima yazbita. Maybe after he marries the mother or the daughter, tisne zu imay. This woman will be mezana with him. Let me explain. The Gemara is going to explain what we're afraid of is as follows. Reuben is accused of having a relationship with Leah. Then he marries Rachel, Leah's sister. Now when he had the relationship with Leah, it was not necessarily an illicit relationship. It was a relationship that was not sanctioned, but not necessarily of illicit relationship. But then he marries Rachel. At that point, Leah becomes his wife's sister. Given the fact that they already had a kind of relationship, or an accused relationship, we're afraid that one day he was going to have another relationship with Leah, and at that point it's an erva. So we don't want him to marry Rachel. That will turn Leah into an erva. We don't want him to marry Rachel's mother, Leah's mother. That will make Leah into an erva. So we say, since you are accused of having a relationship with Leah, stay away from marrying any Leah's relatives. Because we're afraid you're going to end up having a relationship with Leah after she turns into your erva. At this point, she might not be an erva. There's a rumor out there that you're messing around with Leah. And now you're marrying her relative, which turns her into an erva. Now if you live with her, you're going to be Ivor Nisikaris, Misa. So don't marry any of her relatives. That's the halacha. Now, over here, we're saying, we only ask this guy for marrying this woman. We don't say his brother can't marry her. We don't say his father can't marry her. Why aren't we afraid of the same thing? His brother will marry her, and since he already had a relationship, he might have a relationship with her again. And then she's an erva. She's an Aches Ish. Why? Right, he's hanging around relatives, just like we don't let him marry the relatives of Leah, because we don't want Leah to turn into an erva.
She'll be around the house.
Exactly. Let me read the Gemara. Two answers. Answer number one is Nashi Legabi Nashi Shichin Dazman Gavri Legabi Gavri Leshichin. Women visit their relatives. Leah is going to hang around Rachel. Leah is going to hang around her mom. brothers don't hang around each other. If you want to know the opportunity of having an illicit relationship continue, it's more possible, more probable by women, where the woman is constantly visiting her relatives. So if you marry her sister, you'll be seeing her all the time. If your brother marries this woman that you're accused of having an illicit relationship, brothers don't visit. You're not going to see your sister-in-law. She's not going to hang around your house. Same thing. Well, again, his daughter won't hang around, her daughter won't hang around your house. You're marrying, your brother is marrying her. It has nothing to do with anything.
But if ladies hang out so much, so she'll hang out with her sister-in-law.
No. Ladies hang around with their brother. That's answer number one. Inami, the second answer is more. Let me explain. Reuben married is accused of having an illicit relationship with Leah. He marries Rachel. Let's say he has an other relationship with Leah. That does not ban his marriage. His marriage is fine. He was over Zuz, he was over Nerva, but it's not going to ruin his marriage. He's not living with his wife in sin. Again, Reuben marries Rachel and then has his Zuz with her sister. Rachel is still legally married to Reuben. Being Mazana with a wife's sister does not ban the wife. Being Mazana with the wife's mother, it does not ban the wife. Being Mazana with the wife's daughter does not ban the wife. Whereas here, if this woman that the person is accused of having an illicit relationship marries his son, trust me, the son is going to make sure that his father doesn't mess with her. Because then it becomes usher to the son. She's an anxious fish. There's no reason Rachel should be standing over her husband to make sure he's not Mazana with her sister. It doesn't affect her marriage. Yes, she doesn't like the fact that her husband's morals and ethics are lacking, but it's not ruining her marriage. There's an Isser, it's an Erva, but it doesn't affect her. Whereas by the guy who, if his son marries the woman he's accused of having a relationship with, she's now an anxious ish. So he's going to have her, trust me, that son is going to keep his father's hands off his wife. He doesn't want his marriage ruined. And for the Gemara Inam, women that when they have relationships do not ban each other, meaning if he's Mazana with his wife's sister, mother, or daughter, it does not ban his wife. She doesn't care so much. Rachel will look the other way. Gavri, the a man, that if their wife has a relationship, it bans their marriage. Take care. They'll take care to make sure that whoever is accused stays away from their wife. So why does the Mishnah say brothers and sons? Why does it say fathers? That they can marry the father as well. He's going to make sure that his son is not Mazaga. Nothing more loy me boy kamar. Loy me boy avos abazis minei. Not only a father, where you can say a son will not live with his father's wife. He's a shtickle embarrassed. But his son's wife, he doesn't mind taking advantage of. Emaloi, Kamash Malon, we say, no, trust me, the son will watch and his father doesn't get close. So basically, the Gemara is machalic between if the man is accused of having a relationship with a lady marrying her relatives, or if the man is accused of having a relationship with a lady, his relatives marrying that woman. And the Gemara gives two differences. Number one is, he's not allowed to marry her relatives who should be hanging around here. And number two is, she won't ruin his marriage even if he has a relationship with her. And by men, A, she won't hang around here, and B, even if she's here, trust me, that husband will be watching his wife like a hawk because he doesn't want to ruin his marriage.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Abraham is talking, yes.
Is this rumors?
Rumors, yes.
Does that have anything to do with
It's not nothing. It's not saying breaking up a marriage. It's saying he should marry. It doesn't talk about what if he does.
So, according to
that was only anxious ish. It was only a certain. This is talking about a rumor with a regular single girl. There's a rumor that Reuben was Mazana with a single girl named Leah.
So everybody, even Rav, would agree that something that
he shouldn't marry her sister. We're not breaking up any marriages here. We're recommending that he not marry her sister. More than recommending. We're biblically, I'm sorry, rabbinically prohibiting from marrying her sister. Because we're afraid of an existing relationship that might continue, which will be an erva.
Rabbi.
Yes.
So no one, though, challenges the comparison between our Mishnah and this Brisa on the basis of one's a rumor, one's an active rumor that somebody's doing something, versus the other is the guy just being involved structurally in a situation that could lead to suspicion. One involves a rumor saying, I think these two were together. The other is, if he was an agent for her becoming single, we just should be wary of this. Nobody challenges that those two things aren't exactly analogous.
I think the answer to your question is that included in this Vekulan is a case when he was accused of having an illicit relationship with a married woman, where we broke up the marriage, right? But over here, we would let his brother marry her. I mean, if he didn't marry her. Let's say he's accused of having an illicit relationship. Then his brother wants to marry that woman. His father wants to marry that woman. His son wants to marry that woman.
So that makes these situations.
That is an analogous case.
I know that subpart would be, but it just seems to me that it's just doing an equivalence that it just doesn't strike me as very precise. That just his involvement,
that's what I think the answer is.
Okay.
Rashi, let's do it again. Because the first time will come on. After he marries mom or daughter, she'll be a madonna with him. Biblically speaking, if a person's madonna with a woman, it does not ban her relatives. The you can marry the relative of a woman that was raped, that this person raped or seduced. Relatives do not become banned unless there was a marriage. The ishus ksiba, the kicha, says ishus kicha, kiyikach ishus isha, that's ima. Avo mishanot, that's ima vazbita. But if he marries a woman, that oimedes hanitzenes are rishayin all of the karas. If he marries the mother, then whoever the second one is karas. Nana oinis vamafutam is suachayah. If he forcefully has a relationship or seduces a girl who is a relative to his wife, he's chayav. Maybe the father told his son, marry this woman, and that way I can continue my relationship. This way he'll have a way to have continue the relationship. And the answer is, this is the second answer. A woman whose relative is madonna with her husband does not ban her from marriage. His wife doesn't get upset. She doesn't get very upset. She keeps quiet. But man, if his wife has a relationship, he's banned from her. The husband is very careful, but he keeps this man away. So why do we only say brothers or sons? Why don't we say even fathers? Why does it say brothers and sons, not fathers? And the answer is, not only a father, aren't we cheshes to buzzes minei. He's embarrassed from his father. And he has a certain awe from his father, so he wouldn't hang around his wife. But maybe a son and a brother he would take advantage of. And the answer is, trust me, Mr. Brother or Mr. Son is not going to let this man near his wife. Four brothers. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, and they both died. And they both died. Now, this is either one of two reasons that the Gemara is going to speak it out. Either Yatzika, since both are bound to him, he can't do Yibum to either one because it's the sister of the Gruman bound. Right? And we said rabbinically, if you hold Yatzika, one cannot marry the relative of the woman bound to him, or because he might be Mevatu Mitzvah Yevamin. We were afraid if Levi does Yibum to Reuven's wife, Yehuda might die, and nobody will take care of Shimon's wife. She'll go free, but we were Mevatu the Mitzvah. In order not to be Mevatu the Mitzvah, we wanted to be in a situation where Shimon's wife will always be taken care of. So if Reuven's, if Levi gives Chalitza to Reuven's wife, and then Yehuda dies, so his wife is only rabbinically, Shimon's wife is only rabbinically prohibited, he can give her chalitza as well. So we guarantee that the mitzvah will be kept. So those are the two reasons for this Mishnah. Again, Abo Achim, Shnai Mehem Shnu and Shnei Achis, two of them are married to two brothers, sisters. Umeitzu, Hanesu and Asachis, and the ones who married the sisters died. Reuven and Shimon died, and now there's Levi and Yehuda. We don't want to have Yibum for one of two reasons, which the Gemara will explain. Vimkadmu v'kansu. What if they didn't listen to us? And Levi was Me'abim Reuven's wife, and Yehuda was Me'abim Shimon's wife, Yetzil. We make them break up the marriage for violating the rabbinic law. Achais zukukase. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, Abliyazah says, it's a matter of machlokes, where Beishamai says, we let the marriages stand, because Lamai said, at the end of the day, the bezika was removed. Levi took off the zika of Reuven's wife, and Shimon took off the zika Yehuda took off the zika of Shimon's wife. They're not living in sin anymore. The zika is gone. So therefore, even though they violated rabbinic law by doing the Yibum, but we let them stay married, and Beisil says, no, since they violated the law, we make him get divorced.
What point does the
Zika
fall?
Either Yibum or Chalitza.
No, but with one's marriage, does that dissolve the Zika from one?
And then Yibum.
He marries?
Yibum. I don't mean marriage. Yibum.
Yibum. He does Yibum.
So the Zika is off. He's married. There's no more Zika to the other brother.
The one who's still available. The one who's still available, what's her status? The one who's not yet Miss Yama. She can't be a Silkun, but she needs one of the two.
She has Zika to the other brother?
She has Zika to the one brother now?
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing wrong
with marriage. Shaila, because Nesra Lushayacha.
At the time he married
him. Shaila, if Nesra Lushayacha, it really depends who died first and gets involved in the Shaila of Nesra Lushayacha, which I wanted to avoid now. Right? Depends if it was Hutra v'Nesra v'Chosra v'Hutra, or right away Asr and then became Hutra. You would get involved in who died first. Who did Levi do Yibam to? So to avoid that issue, I'm ignoring it for now.
Is Beis Hillel more Machmer?
Quaint to Rabbi Eliezer, yes. Quaint to Rabbi Eliezer, yes. Rashi. Abba Macham, Loi Misyabmas. The Farish time of the Gemara Mishim Zika. At least that was one of the two Gemara's explanations. The Kibin Tatavai is the Kikin Lahai Ulahai. Right, since they're both bound to both, Kama the Miyabim, the first one who does Yibum, Haka Bachai Zukukasai, will be marrying the sister of a woman bound to him, the Abaki Ishtai, which rabbinically we treat like a wife's sister. It's rabbinic. What?
It's
as if we view the woman bound to him as his wife, so he's bound to both. And then for the other ones are always, each one is the wife's sister, so to speak. Look to Mishnah Vayter. Ha'isa achas mem asura ala echad isa erva, asur bo amutra b'achaysa, v'asheni asur b'shteya. Okay, let me set up this case. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. One of those sisters happens to be an erva to Levi. She's an erva to Levi. She's Levi's mother-in-law. Neither of the two are ervas to Yehuda. Reuben and Shimon die. These two sisters fall to Yibam. One of them is not falling to Levi. It's his mother-in-law. So Levi only has one woman falling to Yibam. So he can be Miyabim her. It's not a Chayzuk HaKasai. The other woman has no, is not bound to him. It's his mother-in-law. Yehuda is bound to both. So he can't do Yibam to either. Levi is only bound to one. Because one of them happens to be his mother-in-law. So he's not bound to her. She doesn't count. He only has one Yavama waiting for him. Yehuda has two Yavamas waiting for him who happen to be sisters. So he can't marry her, obviously, it's his mother-in-law, but he's wanting to marry her sister. Vasheni, who both of them are not related to him, they're not any other relative, Asr Bishteya. Rashi, Yisr Erva, Chamaisa Veim Chamaisa. It's his mother-in-law, his grandmother-in-law. The lava chayzkuki. She's not the sister of the woman bound to him. The erva lav kamei ram yilivume, because the erva doesn't fall to him.
Once the one who got married, the one who can, the one that has only one fault,
so
he's even to the other one. Then
she can
marry the
other.
Then the second one.
So this becomes, this is what Rabbi Schutz referred to, and it, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth, but I guess I have to. The halacha is as follows. It would depend. We have a halacha that says that any yavama that you can't be miyabim at the point that her husband died can never become permissible for yibum. Any yavama that you could have been miyabim and then became banned and then became mutter, then you could be miyabim. Again, who died first here is going to be the question. Is this woman the second one or the first one? Let's say Reuben and Shimon were married to sisters. Reuben died first, and then Shimon died. Right? So Shimon's wife was banned the minute she, as soon as Shimon died, she was not eligible for Yibum. She entered at that Achai Zukukasai. Reuben's wife was permissible to Yibum when her husband died. Shimon was still alive. So it depends who Levi is doing Yibum to. If he does Yibum to Shimon's wife, then Yehuda can be Miyabim Reuben's wife. Because Reuben's wife was eligible for Yibum, became ineligible, and now is eligible again. But Shimon's wife was ineligible from the moment she died, and can never become eligible for Yibum. Hope I'm explaining myself well enough. The rule is, any woman that at the time of her husband's death is ineligible for Yibum, can never become eligible for Yibum. Even if the reason is gone. Whereas any woman who was eligible for Yibum and then became ineligible, but then became eligible again, can be eligible for Yibum. It's going to be a sugya coming up. But that's the basic rule. There's going to be a machlokes about this, but that's the basic rule. After the Yibum dies, it's not eligible for Yibum. At the time of the husband's death, was this woman eligible for Yibum?
No, because she has a sister married.
So then she never can be eligible for Yibum.
Even after his wife.
I just answered you. Yes.
Irreversible.
Irreversible.
Wow. Why, more than even a regular sister that was not. I mean,
that's because the mitzvah, it's his brother's wife. Remember, it's an erva called Eshesach. It's only mutter because of Yibum. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. This is the rule. So therefore, your question, which was Rabbi Schutz's question a few minutes ago, is depends which one is the relative to Levi. Number one or number two? If number one is the relative to Levi, so Levi is Miyabim number two, so number one was eligible to Yibum at the time of her husband's death. She became ineligible when Shimon died. Now she became re-eligible, so then Yehuda could be Miyabim her. But if Levi marries the first one and leaves the second one, who was ineligible at the time of death, that's irreversible. So that's why I didn't want to get involved in that, because the Gemara is going to get involved in that later. I'm going to leave it alone. But that's the answer to your question. What?
You
have someone else?
This is,
but this part is not there. What I'm talking to you now is a diagram later on. Now, Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha. What happens if one of them is rabbinically banned from doing Yibum? Either because she's a lav, and biblically, Esther's Zecheloi Tessa, or she's rabbinic, she's a Shnia. Remember we had Sugi of Shnias, secondary Arabis? So now, really, biblically speaking, both brothers are bound to the woman. One of them wouldn't be able to do Yibum because of rabbinic law, but that doesn't take away the Zika. Unlike an Erva, mother-in-law, she's not bound to him. This woman is bound to him. He just can't do Yibum because of a different reason. But they're both bound to him, so they're both sisters of Zekuka, and therefore, Rashi, Isser Mitzvah, Ramya Kameh Midaraisa. Biblically, she falls to this person. Now, what happens? Haisa achas mem asur al zeh iser erva, vashniya asur al zeh iser erva. Reuven's wife is Levi's mother-in-law, and Shimon's wife is Yehuda's mother-in-law. Each one of them only has one falling leibul. The other one is an erva. So now there's no achay skuka. Levi only can marry one, and Yehuda can only marry the other, because neither is bound to this woman's sister, because they're his mother-in-law. So then the halacha is, Asur lezeh mutaris lezeh, Asur lezeh mutaris lezeh. Levi can do Yibum to the one that's not his mother-in-law, and Yehuda can do Yibum to the one that's not his mother-in-law. This is the case that we say that two sisters can follow the Yibum and be eligible for Yibum. That's when each one is an erva to one of the two brothers. Rashi. Achoysik shivemta. Achoysik shal erva. Eishas achi bailik shenefelis ima liyibum. The sister of the erva was also married to a husband's brother. Neither of the two is achoysik kikasai. The erva le rabbi kameh, because the erva doesn't fall. So I hope I explained myself. I hope I explained the Mishnah. Dr. Gemara Shmamina. But that's going to be the Gemara's right now. I spoke out at the beginning that no, it could be because of a rabbinic issur of being mevatel mitzvah yevamim. We mentioned the back on Dr. Tess. So what happens here is, even if he holds ein zika, if we let Levi do Yibum to Reuven's wife, Yehuda might die, and then Shimon's wife will be Levi's, Reuven's wife's sister, and will have no Yibum and Chalitza, will be Mavatul the Mitzvah. So we don't want to be Mavatul the Mitzvah. So we don't want Levi to do Yibum, because that way he'll be Mavatul the Mitzvah. Am I explaining myself?
Yeah. I mean, but is there a difference in Yevin?
No. Same thing. It's rabbinically prohibited. Either because of Zika or because Asa Levatum is Zika. They're both rabbinic prohibitions. It's rabbinic, yes. There are people that say Zika is a derisa, but that's not what we're operating with.
The what?
We had a bunch of people that said Yei Zika, but nobody said it was biblical. We only had one sheet that said it was might be biblical. Yeah, but that's not what we're working with. We're operating the Zika's rabbinic. Let's put it this way. If Zika were biblical, then she wouldn't need Chalitza. Why would the woman need Chalitza? She's a sister of a wife. If Zika is biblical, that means you're married. So why would she need Chalitza? Let me reword myself. Very rarely, if at all, do you have a woman, there's exceptions, but very rarely do you have a woman that gets Chalitza and not Yibum biblically. In 99% of the cases, and I just made that up, when we give a woman Chalitza and not Yibum, it's because there's a rabbinic problem. Because in, biblically, we had a rule back in Dav Gimel Amud Aleph that any woman not eligible for Yibum does not need Chalitza. That's the biblical rule. You're not eligible for Yibum, you're not eligible for Chalitza. If biblically she's eligible for Yibum, but we don't let it rabbinically, so then she has to have Chalitza. That's the rule, except for one exception. We only had one exception to this rule. That is the rule. Any woman that biblically cannot have Yibum is not eligible, is not obligated to have Chalitza. Kol she'eino eilu l'Yibum, eino eilu l'Chalitza. Back in Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. There was one exception. Again, there was one exception. I know. I had one exception.
What was the word that said that the person was only Ola Lechalitza?
Right, that was the one exception.
Who was that?
It was the Gemara.
No, it wasn't a person.
It was the Gemara. The Gemara said it for Amana to a Kohen Gadol, Ben HaNesuin. Even though biblically he's not allowed to do Yibum because it's an Alav and an Asay, she has to go to Chalitza from the Pasuk Va'olsi Yivim to Hashara.
Oh, right.
Okay. But that was the only exception to the rule. Every other case that I know of, if she's biblically ineligible for Yibum, there's no mitzvah chalitza. So if Zika is biblical, then there's no mitzvah chalitza. We're operating under the assumption that we're dealing with a rabbinic Zika, which makes her ineligible for Yibum, but allows chalitza. Because biblically, she still needs it. Right? The same thing was true when you had a mamzeres come to Yibum. Biblically, Esther's Daichalais Esther. He has a mitzvah of Yibum. We were afraid that he would have a second relationship with her. So the Rabbanim banned Yibum. It's a rabbinic ban, therefore she needs Chalitza. Anyone that's biblically not eligible for Yibum doesn't go for Chalitza except one exception. That's the rule. So whenever you see the words, Chalitza's V'lai Misyavemes, assume rabbinic. Unless that one exception. Assume rabbinic. Because biblical, there's no such thing. No Yibum, no Chalitza. One case is different. No Yibum, no Chalitza. Except rabbinically, we step in and say, even though biblically she's eligible for both, we don't allow both. That's our biblical right. I mean, our rabbinic right. We're banning him from doing his mitzvah. And we're making him settle for the second part of the mitzvah, which is chalitza. Talk to Gemara. Shema mina yezika. Our Mishnah is a proof to Zika. Because since the Mishnah does not allow Yibum, why does the Mishnah not allow Yibum? Must be because yezika. And that's a machloikas. So the Mishnah seems to be picking sides in a machloikas of yezika and ainzika. These two women are falling from two different houses, Reuben's wife and Shimon's wife. Why can't each one do Yibum to one? If there's no Zika, what's wrong? It's not related to any of the two. Dr. Gemara, La'ilam Eimelach Ein Zika. Shinduksavar Asa Levata Mitzvah Yivamim. We're afraid we're going to ruin the Mitzvah of Yibum. Why? While Levi does Yibum to Reuben's wife, Yehuda might die. And then, Shimon's wife will not be able to get Yibum or Chalitza because her sister is married to Levi. Tachlaitisha. Become a fatal mitzvah Yibum. And therefore we say, we don't want Yibum because we're afraid that one of the people will die. We'll continue a mitzvah tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day. What? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
very old and had no intention of getting married.
Let's go green. What more, Rebbe?
How is
this from?
I can't hear Rebbe Shanti. He's trying to ask me a question and you're bothering me with tests. Yes. Well, an old lady that can't do you. Halachically, she can go away without chalitza. It's just not a kabbalah. You know, he's not doing the mitzvah. Yeah, but some cipher says we can't force a lady. Choose some cipher about an old lady didn't want to do chalitza. I'm sorry.
It's only a mitzvah on the man.